anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, and we have a great show for you tonight. And I said last week, you know, we had Nick Mangold on the show last week, who was a part of the same program as our guest for this week's show, the Verizon Who's Going to Win program. And I didn't give it away. And then, of course, the Twitter world broke when Jet Nation released that we are going to have on this show for you tonight the five-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro, Hall of Fame running back, Curtis Martin, which me and Joe got to sit down with him this morning. With a couple, to go over, basically everything going around the NFL. We talked about the Super Bowl. We talked about the Flategate. We talked about the Jets and Todd Bowles situations. And, of course, we talked about some great moments with him, with the New York Jets. Just a reminder out there, Curtis Martin is a part of the Who's Gonna Win program sponsored by Verizon. Remember, the Super Bowl is here, and that means that the Verizon Who's Gonna Win program is back. This year, we are inviting fans across the country to show their fandom by transforming the nation into their team's colors and making their prediction of who's going to win. Fans are encouraged to join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag who's going to win to predict who they think will win this year's Super Bowl. Then, of course, they can visit whosgoingtowin.com on a desktop and use the Google Street View to decorate houses in team colors and share socially with friends on mobile. Remember, this week, Verizon is turning the fans' predictions for this matchup into a spectacular night light show at the Verizon Super Bowl Central on Washington Street and 3rd Street in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, taking place Wednesday, January 28th through Saturday, January 31st at 6:30 p.m. The show will open with a ceremony of the lights celebrating the colors of all 32 NFL teams, so we'll see a little jet green there. The show will be comprised of real-time data from the fans' vote, which will be translated into a stunning sequence of both team colors, with the winning team color and logo prevailing at the end as determined by you, the fans. So get online, hashtag who's going to win, whosgoingtowin.com. And remember that you can catch all the action on your NFL mobile device sponsored by Verizon. Without further ado, here is the Hall of Fame running back joined by, of course, myself and Joe Blewett. Here is Curtis, my favorite Mart.
Okay, and now joining us here on Jet Nation Radio and a part of Verizon's Who's Gonna Win program, he is a Hall of Fame, five-time Pro Bowler, and a Jet fan favorite, and one of my favorites. It's Curtis, my favorite Martin. Curtis, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're doing good, Curtis, and thank you so much for joining us and taking the time, especially with the weather that's going on up here in the tri-state area. Curtis, I want to jump right into it.
Yeah, I barely got out of there.
Sure, it's definitely tough. Having played in the Super Bowl in 1996 against the Green Bay Packers, what can you tell me right now is running through the minds of these players this week as they are approaching practically the biggest game of their lives?
Well, most of them are just trying to make sure that they stay focused and not get distracted with all the things that are going on. Media day is really hectic. Everything you do when you're at the Super Bowl is pretty hectic. So being able to compose yourself and stay focused, I believe, is one of the main goals that most teams who come out to a Super Bowl try to do. Focus is key.
Hey, Curtis, thanks again for joining us today. Can you talk about what it feels like to be considered one of the best running backs of all time, and what was it like to be finally inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2012?
Well, you know something, I've never been a big fan of individual accolades and everything, but the Hall of Fame was one of the most surreal experiences that I've ever had. Being in a room with that level of greatness, and this is my first year into the Hall of Fame, and I'm sitting at the table with Jim Brown and Franco Harris and Lynn Swan and John Madden, and they're all telling me what they expect out of a Hall of Famer, and so it was just a great environment, a great group to be a part of, and I feel honored and blessed to be in there.
Curtis, having been on the Jets while new coach Todd Bowles on staff, Can you tell us about your experience with Todd Bowles? And, you know, have you spoken to him? And do you think that the Jets made the right move in making him the next head coach?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that he was a good choice. You know, for me, it was between him or Doug Marrone. And, you know, if either one of those guys got the job, I feel like I would have been happy with their decision. You know, I think time will tell. I think that he's a great guy. I definitely think he fits the bill. So I think that he'll bring a new kind of refreshing attitude and mentality to the Jets.
You and Barry Sanders are the only two running backs in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in your first 10 seasons. How did you stay so consistent for so long? In addition to that, how do you stay so healthy for so long? NFL time, it was very run-oriented league.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was always about trying to find some type of advantage. So I would, every offseason, I made sure I found something to work on so I could get better. And more so for me, it was more training my mentality to stay young and fresh because, you know, I never felt like I was getting old and starting to wear out. And that's why I believe I started having my best years towards the latter part of my career. You know, my goal was to finish with, you know, that the latter six seasons of my career would be better than the first six seasons. And I felt like I was on the road to that until I had that, you know, a career-ending injury. And if not for that, I felt like I would have accomplished my goal.
Absolutely. Now, Curtis, the Jets did make some big changes this offseason, obviously firing a fan-favorite head coach who now immediately became the head coach of a division rival. Do you think that it was the right move in firing Rex Ryan? And what do you think went wrong towards the end of his tenure as Jets head coach?
Well, you know something, I think that it's hard to win without very productive quarterback play. I definitely wouldn't point the finger at Rex Ryan. I thought that he was a great coach for the Jets. I still think that he's a really good coach. I would have liked to play for him myself. Yet, I also understand what it's like to play and coach in New York. And in New York, it just says anywhere, you have to win. And I think you're measured by wins. And the last few seasons, you know, Rex hasn't been able to pull that out. So I just think that it was good just for the team and for the change of mentality. And you know, I also think that it's something that was good for the fans because, you know, it's as much as the fans loved Rex, the fact that he wasn't winning was, that the Jets weren't winning was, I think, taken away from the fans for the New York Jets. So I think that it worked out good for Rex and the Jets because I think he'll do well at Buffalo.
I do, too, and I could only imagine if you were the Jets running back when Rex Ryan was there. I think your carries per game would have probably went up by about 15 to 20 if you had Curtis Martin in the backfield.
Yeah, I would have loved it. And like I say, I just like that mentality. I like a coach who's not afraid to be a little forthcoming to with the media, you know, and speak their mind and, you know, speak about his beliefs and his team. I really like things like that.
Absolutely. Now, the biggest story here in the past couple weeks now is obviously the New England Patriots being accused of tampering with the footballs during the AFC Championship game, another scandal involving Bill Belichick and the Patriots. What do you make of this whole situation and these allegations against the Patriots? And from being a football player for as long as you have been, have you ever experienced or seen anything like this in a locker room that you've been in before?
Well, no. I mean, because it's not something that you pay attention to. I remember seeing Bill Belichick saying that he has no idea of the air pressure in the football. And contrary to public belief, they may think that he does. But me being a running back, you know, I handle the ball more than anyone other than a quarterback. I was never aware of the air pressure in the football. I think it's very hard to tell the difference between a few, you know, pounds here or there in the football. So, you know, I look more to Tom Brady on that issue than Belichick or Mr. Kraft. You know, I tend to give Brady the benefit of the doubt simply because of his track record. I see at least the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure the NFL will be very thorough in their investigation. If they come out and find that someone did something wrong, then I'm sure they'll be penalized. But if they come out and find that there was nothing done wrong, then like Mr. Kraft said, I do believe that they deserve an apology because, you know, the legacy that the Patriots and Mr. Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady has put together, you would hate to have something like this punish it.
Now, all the Jets fans love you, and you're many Jets fans' favorite player. And we all feel very bad for you that you reported the Patriots for three seasons. I know that must have been tough. But can you talk about some of your time there and some of your thoughts while you're on the Patriots about the Jets? And on the flip side about that, could you talk about how and if your feelings changed toward the Patriots after you joined the Jets and were on the Jets for the next 8 years? And I would ask you what team you prefer, but I think we'll all say I think we all know it's the Jets.
Yeah, definitely the Jets. But when I was the Patriots and when the Jets became significant, it was when Parcells went there. You know, that was when I wanted to, like, just totally dominate the Jets. And then I had the same feeling once I went to the Jets and we went to go play during the Patriots. It was like that was the one game that I wanted to just annihilate a team. And, you know, it's kind of the big brother syndrome type thing. That, you know, you just want to show someone that they're wrong or that they're not better than you. And so, you know, that's kind of the mentality that just goes along with those situations.
Absolutely. Now, obviously having a big impact on your career is Bill Parcells. The new Jets head coach, Todd Bowles, comes from the Bill Parcells coaching tree. What do you think the biggest thing that Todd Bowles will take from Bill Parcells in his first job as a real head coach?
Well, I think anything that, and when you look at the track record of Bill Parcells' coaches, one thing that they seem to have come to understand is that you have to do things your way, and if you're going to lose doing it your way, and be very disciplined about it, and make sure that you demand the respect and discipline from your team. I think those are some of the traits that come along with any Parcells team.
Now, Ken Schroy from the JetNation.com forums wants to ask you if there's a game or even a particular play that you remember more than any other play or particular game.
The one play that always stands out to me is playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Fall Bowl to go to the Super Bowl in the playoff game. And, you know, I had been getting a lot of pressure from my team and the coaches telling me that I didn't have breakaway speed. And I think I broke away from like this 80-yard run. And it was just one of the most exciting moments of my career. I don't know why. I think mainly because I grew up in Pittsburgh and we played against the Steelers. I knew everyone in Pittsburgh Nation was rooting against me. So to have a great game against them, that was one of my first and most memorable moments during my career.
I remember, I think I was about 11 or 12 years old sitting there watching that football game, so I don't forget that either. The New York Jets quarterback situation, Curtis, is definitely a complicated one. Do you have any confidence that the starting quarterback is on this current roster, or do you think the new Jets starting quarterback is out there in free agency or the draft?
Well, you know something, I don't think it's very complicated. At the end of the day, they just haven't been getting very productive quarterback play. And I just think that, you know, in order to win, especially in the years now, you have to have very good quarterback play, and they haven't been getting that. Now, I don't know if Geno or Mike can step up and do that, but, you know, I wouldn't be willing to necessarily risk the future of my team on it. I would definitely look for talent elsewhere in free agency or in the draft, and they would have to compete. You know, I wouldn't have any clear starter until game day.
If you can go back and be a Hall of Fame player at any other position other than running back, what would it be? You know, maybe like playing safety or even quarterback, because I know you've only thrown two passes in your career, and both of them are touchdown passes. So maybe you could you can go back and maybe be a quarterback. What do you think?
No, you know something. I would like to play safety. I would probably like to play a free safety position, just because I think I got a good knack for the ball, and because I understand offense and just the movement of you know, running backs and, you know, reading the quarterback, I would like to take a shot at playing free safety.
I think running back worked out pretty well for you though, Curtis, in your tenure with the Jets. So I'm gonna stick with running back. But you know, Curtis, we're talking with Curtis Martin on Jet Nation Radio, and Curtis is a part of Verizon Who's Gonna Win program. So Curtis, our last question to you is: who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Do you think the Seattle Seahawks are going to go back-to-back with another Super Bowl championship? Do you think the New England Patriots will capture their fourth title? Do you think that these allegations and this whole Deflategate has any impact on the Patriots' mindset to win the Super Bowl? So, overall, who do you think is going to win?
Well, I think that's going to, I think things like that just motivate a team. Like, I think it's going to make the Patriots, you know, it's just going to bring out that extra edge in them. And I think the Patriots get the job done at the end of the day. You know, we're doing a campaign where, you know, you can text or tweet to who's going to win and tweet your favorite team. Tweet who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tweet the Patriots because that's who I think is going to win.
Oh,
you can also watch
Curtis
the Super Bowl.
Killing me.
yeah. I really think the Patriots are going to win. So, yeah. Verizon's doing a campaign where they're going to light up the sky. They're going to do a light show every day from the 28th to the 31st at 7 o'clock for what team gets the most tweets on who's going to win, hashtag who's going to win.
Curtis, I hope sooner than later that we can tweet Jets and light up the sky nice and green for everybody to enjoy. Eventually,
yeah,
I hope
this
so.
Year,
maybe
unfortunately, unfortunately, this year it'll be blue or red or blue and green. But one day, Verizon will be putting green up in the sky.
I hope so. We just need you to put the pads and the helmet back on and get out there and hopefully you can maybe help us light up the sky green again.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be coming back. I'm too old for that.
All right, Curtis. Yeah. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time here and your insight. Listen, I mean, I myself actually have, you know, grown up watching my all-time favorite player, and I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for the Jets and their fans out there. We appreciate everything that you've done for this organization, and all the best, and thank you for joining us.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. So before I go, I just want to remind fans they can watch the Super Bowl live on their mobile device or their smartphone this year, powered by Verizon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Curtis. Right. I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And we are off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. It's really hard for me to describe, you know, what it was like interviewing a guy like Curtis Martin. I mean, we've done, you know, Joe Namath, we've done Geno Smith, we did Nick Mangold last week. There's nothing like interviewing a player that you really sat here, and as I do this show, I got Curtis Martin jersey hanging up on my wall as I'm sitting here talking to him live today. And it's a surreal type feeling because, I mean, this is a guy who just set the tone for this organization. And I mean, during the time period where the Jets had down years and then were up and down, you know, even though they weren't, you know, the best of the best in terms of, you know, winning football games, a guy like Curtis Martin would show up week in and week out and would make you proud to be a Jets fan. And that's really the best thing about a guy like Curtis Martin, about having a guy like that be in the organization. And then to see guy like that be inducted into the Hall of Fame as a Jet fan and as a fan of Curtis Martin, I just thought the whole experience today was awesome. What do you think, Joe?
Oh yeah, it was definitely awesome. You know, like you said, when we were growing up, you know, watching this guy on TV, you know, we're relatively young, and he was a lot of Jets fans that are our age. You know, he was their hero, and he was a player that people really looked up to. You know, especially with his charity work and all that stuff. So he was definitely one of my all-time favorite Jets. It's definitely very humbling to interview a guy like that. And I was actually very tempted to ask him if he would, come and coach the Jets running backs up. But we actually got a running back coach today, so I didn't ask him that. But it was great. I'm definitely looking forward to doing, more interviews. I wasn't here with you for the Joe Namath and Gino. I did get the Wilkerson and the Jason Morrow earlier this year. But I'm definitely looking forward to many, many more interviews that we can hopefully do with, Jets greats and hopefully some, players who are on the Jets now.
You know, it was an unbelievable experience because, Curtis Martin obviously, is the type of player that, in a sense, he's one of those guys that the Jet organization he's the face of this franchise, in my opinion, overall. I mean, you have greats like Joe Namath. You have all these, top guys. But a guy like Curtis Martin is really, really special. And, kudos to him for joining us today. We really appreciate his time. And, a couple things I want to touch on in his interview that he said, obviously, he definitely was high on Todd Bowles. And I know he was, with Todd Bowles, for that short period of time that he was with the Jets. And he was definitely high on Todd Bowles, obviously high on Rex Ryan. But one thing that I thought was very, very interesting that he mentioned was the fact of, when I asked him why he thought that Rex Ryan got fired and, if he deserved to get fired, he mentioned the fact that he wouldn't point the finger at him and really geared it towards the fact that he hasn't had consistent quarterback play, kind of taking the approach that maybe the situation and the reason why Rex Ryan was fired was because of the inconsistent quarterback play. What'd you make of that, Joe?
I thought that we said last week that we were done talking about Rex Ryan, Brandon.
Well,
why
don't we elaborate on what a Hall of Fame running back said in his interview? Let's go with that.
obviously not having a quarterback and having Mark Sanchez and guys like Kellen Clemens and Mark Brunell and Michael Vick here obviously hurt Rex Ryan, but if you listened to the show last week, and you are obviously talking to me last week, I listened a whole bunch of different reasons, why Rex is gone. It's not just because of the quarterback play. So it definitely had a part in it. And maybe if he had a guy like Matt Ryan in here, or the Jets drafted a guy like Russell Wilson, even though I'm not sure he would turn into what he is now if he got drafted by the Jets, it's obviously a big question. If we had a quarterback, maybe he would still be here, but guess what? It's not the situation right now. So, Rex is gone now. He brought his staff to Buffalo, and I'm done with him. But do I agree with Curtis Martin slightly? Yes, I do.
Well, one thing, too, that Curtis Martin touched on I thought was interesting in regards to the Patriots and the whole Deflategate. I thought it was pretty, he took to the point where he was more geared towards Tom Brady rather than Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft, obviously talking about, how he thinks the integrity and the track record of Tom Brady speaks for itself, which of course it does, in regards to the fact of him thinking, Tom Brady tampering with football. So I thought his opinion on that, was kind of, in the beginning, it seemed like he was gearing towards more putting the blame on the quarterback and then kind of, backtracked a little bit and said, well, this guy's track record speaks for itself. So I thought that was another interesting point. Obviously, talking about the Pittsburgh snowball game, that was something that every Jet fan remembers. So overall, I thought, very interesting points from Curtis Martin. And one thing that he talked about as well was he thinks that the quarterback situation here could, change in regards to the draft or free agency. And he thinks that they should not bring a starting, they shouldn't make a starting quarterback until game day of week one. What'd you think of that?
Oh yeah. Well, I completely 100% agree with him there. Last season it was all about Gino and Michael Vick. And then you look at the stats and you go to the training camps in Florham Park and you see Gino on the field at 75 to 80% of the time and Michael Vick only on the field 25% of the time. So they said it was an open competition, but it was the farthest thing from an open competition. It was Gino's job to lose. He would have really had to, fall flat in his face to lose that quarterback competition. So, if we bring a guy Like a Bradford in here, or like a Mallet or Fitzpatrick, or whoever they bring in, whoever veteran, whatever veteran they want to bring in, or you know they decide to draft a guy like Petty in the second or third round, and they want to bring him in here. You know, have a quarterback competition. Whoever deserves it, they should win the job, because you know on top of that, Brandon, it's not a good look for a first time head coach if he brings in Geno and Geno's getting, 60% of the snaps and the other guys are only getting, 20% apiece. So it doesn't look good. So I definitely am leaning towards having an open competition. I think it'd be really good for this team and, our future.
I completely agree with you. I think you have to be able to look into bringing in other people for an open competition, in regards to, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but with the Deflategate and everything that's going on with the Patriots too is, it was pretty funny because I was talking to my uncle about it, last week in regards to, who we thought, was the scapegoat in this. And he had mentioned to me that he thought the coach was innocent as well. And then hearing it from Curtis Martin. So I think that it's, in regards to that, I think time is going to tell, and it's got to fall on investigation. But I thought Curtis Martin's points on that were fantastic. And overall, I thought it was a great interview, and I thought, I thought it was definitely brought some great insights to Jet Nation.
With the whole Patriots scandal this whole entire week, it's been a little bit annoying to hear about it every single day, and it really sucks that during Super Bowl week when you want to hear about, guys like Russell Wilson or Doug Baldwin or these guys, you want to hear about the matchups, Darrell Revis against Russell Wilson, these kind of things, and you're hearing about, the Deflategate. And in the beginning, it was very nice to see, it's kind of fun to watch everybody, throwing out memes and things like that, against the Patriots. But the thing with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I think that Bill Belichick, I don't think he was the ringleader. I think he knew about it, though. I don't think he's probably the most anal coach in the entire football league, where he has to know about everything. I think he knew about it. Tom Brady in his press conference was basically he that's the most uncomfortable I've ever seen him. He kind of looked like the whole time like a kid who just stole candy. He didn't seem like he was telling the truth. And at one point, Brandon, which I found extremely interesting, he's saying, oh, well, I love my balls at 12.5 PSI, and, that's how I like them. I don't like whenever anybody touches them or whatever. And then he says, oh, well, how can you feel the 2-pound difference in the PSI? And he's like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't feel it. I just feel the leather. And I just found that like he was completely lying. He definitely knew about it, and it definitely wasn't some random ball boy. He just took it to a back room and changed it. A ball boy would never do that. A kid who gets paid, maybe $40,000 a year, wouldn't do that without the permission of the quarterback. So Tom Brady's definitely lying. I think it'll be figured out after the Super Bowl, but hopefully they take a couple picks away from him. I'm hoping a first round pick. I would definitely be smiling ear to ear because the Patriots, as we all know, are cheaters.
Well, the call line is open tonight here at 646-716-4697. I want to hear your thought out there in regards to the Curtis Martin interview and what you thought, and what type of, what are your favorite Curtis Martin moments out there as Jet fans and what you thought in regards to the interview and touch on anything that he said. I was reading up more about, after in terms of now, it seems to me that everything is now put into place in terms for the Jets in regards to their front office and their coaching staff, director of personnel hired, offensive coordinator hired, quarterbacks coach hired. Everything is put into place now. And another thing that Curtis Martin said that I have been saying this entire time in regards to Todd Bowles, Chan Gailey, McCagnan, everybody out there is time will tell. And that's exactly what Curtis Martin said into Todd Bowles. He looked at it as, you're going to bring in a coach who's, a great defensive mind. He came from the Cardinals, who had a great defense last year. This is still a guy that has no head coaching experience outside of now the interim head coach of the Dolphins for 2 games. Time is going to tell in regards to how this team falls into place, especially with their head coach. I thought it was very interesting how he talked about the Bill Parcells effect of if you're going to win or if you're going to lose, you're going to do it your way. You're going to do it the way you know it. You're going to do it the way you're used to. You're going to do it the Bill Parcells way, which is like what exactly what Curtis Martin said, which is his way. I think that overall, the moves that the Jets have made and everything looks like it's done in terms of the hiring process. Now we move on to, obviously, the Super Bowl and then into free agency and then into the NFL draft. Time is going to tell in regards to how this is going to pan out. I didn't sense a major excitement in terms of, you know, Todd Bowles as a head coach from Curtis Martin. I didn't think that he thought that Todd Bowles is the standout guy for the job. He actually mentioned Doug Marrone, which I thought was very interesting as well. He didn't even bring up the thought of Dan Quinn, who is supposed to be, you know, 1A and 1B with Todd Bowles for this head coaching job. So overall, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to jump for joy in regards to the decisions that they made and the staff that they put into place. But obviously a change was needed after, you know, another disappointing season. And I thought it was interesting that Curtis Martin kind of took the same approach as myself, basically saying, well, you made the changes, you put new guys in place, and time's going to tell.
Yeah, Brandon, like you said before, with all the coaches, you know, I think the only thing that the Jets are missing right now is a tight ends coach. So the Jets basically do have all their coaching staff into place, and I'll get into that in a couple minutes. And I just wanted to touch on the one thing with Doug Marrone, you know, how that's probably one of the greatest miscalculations that we have almost ever seen. You know, the guy opts out of his Buffalo Bills deal, thinking that he's definitely in Atlanta as a head coach somewhere, and now he's an offensive line coach for Jacksonville Jaguars. So that guy, really screwed himself over there. I still think that Bowles was definitely my 1A, with Quinn being my 1B. So I'm definitely still happy we got Bowles. And in the presser, Brandon, I loved it. You know, I was sitting there like a little kid on Christmas waiting for it to start, just because I'm excited for the new regime and for it all to, you know, for a fresh start. But, you know, McKagan and Bowles, they seemed very honest to me. They seemed like they're here to get their hands dirty. They're here to win. And obviously everybody's going to seem like that, but it really seemed like in their answers that they were being, you know, very, very honest. And it was very, you know, refreshing to see somebody. I'm not going to, you know, make fun of Rex Ryan too much here, but it was very nice to see, you know, the complete 180 of a complete circus act. You know, especially when you see at the one time somebody tried to bait Todd Bowles with, you know, are you going to kiss Belichick's rings? And he just responded, you know, he's here to get his own. Bowles seemed, he's very serious. He had a couple of laughs there, so I like that. He seemed like he's very relatable for the players. You know, obviously he was a safety in this league for many, many years. You know, and something else I found interesting, and I know you'll probably be mad at Woody Johnson for this, but it seemed like Woody Johnson actually took a shot at Rex Ryan. Yeah, no, I'm not here to make fun of Rex Ryan.
Here we go.
I'm not even gonna make fun of Rex Ryan. But did you hear when Woody Johnson basically said, you know, Bowles will take a 3,000-foot look at offense, defense, and special teams, and he won't just focus
on defense.
Yes, I know.
And he said that the day after he was fired. That's fantastic. Listen, if you wanted a change, you got a change. You got a completely different, you know, group of people in here, and you could tell right off the bat from the press conference. I thought it was funny when they asked him. They said, you know, what do you think your personality is? And he kind of just looked at him and laughed a little bit. I think overall, you saw two guys that are going to do things completely different than the way things have been done. And if you're a Jet fan and that excites you, fantastic. You got exactly what you wanted. You got a coach who's going to give you answers that are going to be, you know, to the point, almost Bill Belichick-like in terms of, you know, we're going to play on Sunday. We're going to play outside. We're going to use footballs. We're going to throw. We're going to, you know, we're going to run. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get a Bill Parcells-minded type coach who's going to have no nonsense, who's going to do it his way. Will it be successful? Time's going to tell. That's exactly how you can size up this entire regime. Time is going to tell in terms of what's going to happen. Go ahead.
I think it's funny, you know, when coaches, when they get asked about their offensive game plan, they say, you know, we're going to run it and then we're going to pass the ball. And I was like, okay, well, what else do you plan on doing, you know, unless maybe you're the Jets in the red zone and you decide to run it three times in a row. But that's a joke for a different day. You know, but the thing that I found very interesting from the press conference too, Brandon, was that they made no commitment to Geno. Every time, even off the presser, they didn't ask about it this week, they're kind of saying, oh, well, it's very early in the process. We will evaluate that as we get all our coaches in and things like that. And Bowles was actually asked about Geno, and all he had to say was, you know, he's a great college quarterback, which isn't much of an endorsement for a guy who's been in the league for 2 years. So, you know, like we get to back to our point before of having an open quarterback competition, it really seems like it's going to go that way. And, you know, I want to get a little bit to the staff. You know, obviously it's really hard to know, but for me right now, some of these names, you know, I haven't heard much about. I had to do some research and see what they were really about, you know, read a couple pages on them. But some of these names, Brandon, actually, you know, I've actually heard of before, and I've seen them coach, and I've looked up some of their accolades, and they're actually very impressive. You know, the quarterback coach was hired today, Kevin Petullo. He coached wide receivers with Chan Gailey in Buffalo. So I'm not sure if that's the one hire that I was kind of iffy about, because he's never been a quarterback coach. He's only coached wide receivers. So that's a little shaky. But the two hires that I really, really loved, you know, we already talked about Chan Gailey. I'm not a huge, huge fan. I'm not 100% in on that, but I think he'll be good for Geno in that he runs a spread offense. You know, it's not as risky as a West Coast offense. It's a lot of short passes, screen passes, things like that. So I think that'll be good for Geno.
Doesn't that make you just jump right out of your chair? It's so exciting to know that the Jets have brought in a guy who's been out of football for 2 years who's going to run a screen game. Man, oh man, I tell you, I cannot wait to put on my jersey and head on over to MetLife Stadium on Sundays.
Oh, yeah, no, it didn't make me jump out. If we got a guy, you know, maybe I know we're making fun of him as a, you know, an offense. I mean, as a head coach and Gary Kubiak, but if we got a guy like Gary Kubiak in here as offensive coordinator, I would definitely be extremely excited. But the thing with Chan Gailey is, you know, he's like we had Glenn on last week, and he said, and he wrote an article, you know, has anybody done more with less? You know, when you make Tyler Thigpen look like a solid quarterback when he's coming out as a seventh round pick, you know, he was, you know, terrible, and he made him look decent. But the two hires that I really liked was Pepper Johnson. He was actually a very close candidate for the New York Giants defensive coordinator job. He obviously was the Buffalo Bills defensive line coach last year. He had Marcell Dareus and Mario Williams. They had their career high in sacks for them. He had a you know, he was with the Patriots in 2007.
He was driving Ford last year, and now he's coming to drive a Ferrari with the Jets. I mean, that's the best job to have, is to be the defensive line coach with the Jets. You're coming in, you're coaching Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, and Damon Harrison. So, I mean, that was I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying in regards to Chan Gailey and Tyler Thigpen and getting more out of him, and, you know, seeing his track record in terms of working with obviously less talented quarterbacks and making something out of nothing. I get it. I see, you know, where the numbers come from, and I see what you're saying. But overall, I look at a guy like Chan Gailey, and is he the guy that's going to be able to come in and fix Geno Smith and make this quarterback show some type of consistency? That's the issue. Is who they tried with Morningweg, he had some success, but he couldn't get him to be consistent. That's the biggest issue with Geno Smith, because you've seen parts of his career and stretches where Geno Smith plays like a top 15, top 10 quarterback. He had a perfect passer rating, the only quarterback to do it in the NFL last year in the last game of the season. So it's all about who is going to make him a consistent quarterback. And if you think Chan Gailey's that guy, great. Bring him in. Let's see what he can do. If not, then what direction is this offense going in?
Yeah, well, you know, I see what you're saying. Like before, you said it's not a slam dunk, and we'd rather have guys. Well, I'm not sure about you, but like Kubiak in here, but I definitely, you know, I see him coach guys like Thigpen, like you said before too, and like I said, it's a positive for me. You know, it's gonna tell. The proof is in the pudding, so we're gonna see in August and September what he's really about. You know, we can come out here, and it really wouldn't surprise me if Geno starts off, you know, if he's the quarterback, and he starts off with 3 touchdowns, 10 picks, or something like that. So I'm really not surprised about that, Brandon. But I want to talk about some you know, getting off of coaches right now. But I want to ask you about an article that I read this week, and it says that David Harris is supposedly saying he's willing to consider taking less money to join a contender, which, in my opinion, other than Damon Harrison, it's probably the biggest, you know, signing that the Jets need to make. And I know he's not, you know, the quickest linebacker, but when you look at some of the things he's done in the past 4 years, everybody's saying he's getting old, and obviously he doesn't deserve a contract, you know, north of $7 million. But if he was willing to take a contract, you know, maybe around $5 million a year for 2 or 3 years, I would definitely do it, because when you look at his numbers in the past 4 years, you know, category of middle linebacker, 2011, he finished 32nd, 2012, he finished 12th, 11th, and 8th in tackles, and then sacks from 2011, he finished 1st, 8th, 17th, and then 1st. So you can't say the guy is not a good linebacker. I think that he's been snubbed from Pro Bowls for multiple years when he's in the top 10 in tackles and sacks most of the year. So I definitely think that is a priority signing for the Jets. But, you know, what do you think about us letting David Harris go and having a guy like DeMario Davis being the number one middle linebacker on our team? Or do you think, you know, we should definitely make it a priority signing and get David Harris back here no matter or not no matter how much he wants, but, you know, if he's taking a contract around $5, maybe $6 million a year?
I think that this is the decision you're going to have to make in regards to David Harris. Does the head coach and the general manager of this football team believe that DeMario Davis is the man to lead this defense next year? Do they believe that he is the future at linebacker for the Jets? Do they believe that he is going to be the new captain and the new leader of this defense? If you believe that and you think that that's the case and you want to spend your money elsewhere and you don't want to keep a seasoned veteran like David Harris, by all means, let him go. But I look at it from this point of view. You already got rid of, you know, you're completely changed your coaching staff, which is going to affect the defense. You've completely changed your front office, which is going to completely affect your personnel that's coming in. So are you willing to part ways with a guy who has been here for a very long time and been a backbone of your defense over in terms of length, in terms of money, whatever the case may be? David Harris is the backbone of this Jets defense, and he's been that way for a long time. He's been an unsung hero for the Jets. He's been a guy who shows up week in and week out, makes plays. So it all comes down to, do you believe that DeMario Davis is the guy for this team, and do you want to spend your money elsewhere? The Jets have a ton of cap room. They can afford David Harris. Look, if he wants to say, well, I got 3 years left in my career, and I don't see a playoff team here in the next 2 seasons or so, and he wants to go join a contender to try and get a Super Bowl to finish his career, absolutely. I don't discredit him in any way for doing that, because he's looking at it from a point of view, I live and died with the Jets for my entire career. This is where I've played. This is my home. But I see a team that's going to be rebuilding. I see a team that's going through coaching changes, front office changes. I don't see a winner here in the next 3 years. I need to make a change for myself and my career. I want to go get a championship. If that's his mindset, you can't fault a guy for that. You can't fault a guy for wanting to try and go win a championship and call it a day. But money talks. That at the end of the day in sports, it's money that talks. So if you go throw David Harris, you know, $7 or $8 million a year over the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to re-sign with the Jets. But if you're going to try and play the lowball game with him and say, look, you're in your later part of your career, we're going to offer you a lesser contract, and somebody else who, you know, might be on the cusp, a Denver Broncos or, you know, even a New England Patriots, if they come to him and they offer him some, you know, as disgusting as that sounds, if they come to him and offer him some type of money and they want him to be their middle linebacker, he's going to make that move because it's a good football move for him overall, and I get it.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to talk about that too. You know, I don't think any Jets fan could really be too mad at David Harris if he wanted to leave and go to a team. Maybe I agree with the Packers because I think the Packers are a classy organization. That's another team that obviously the Jets are my favorite team, but you know I usually root for them if I'm watching the game as long as they're not playing the Jets. So I would be fine with David Harris going to, you know, Green Bay, but I think if he went to the Patriots, just like a long tenured Jet did in Sean Ellis, and then he goes to the Patriots and he's playing there for one season and he says, you know, I never consider the Jets home. If he did something like that to the Jets, I think most Jets fans would really hate him and really be mad. But I think if he went to a different team out of our division, most fans would be completely understanding of him wanting to win a championship game. Obviously, he's 31 years old, and if I was in the NFL, that's the number one thing I would want. I know it's hard to say you wouldn't be about the money, but I would definitely want a Super Bowl ring. And I want to ask you about a couple other.
So, Joe, are you a secret cheesehead in the sense?
A Chiefs head? I am not a cheese. Let's just say if the Jets just somehow their franchise just disappeared and you know they were no longer a franchise and no other team moved to New York and it was just the Giants, I would probably be a Packers fan. So yes, they would be my second favorite team if I had to choose. But
so basically, if David Harris goes, you're getting a block of cheese to put on your head and you're gonna start getting the go chant.
No, that is completely false. I will live or die with the Jets. I don't care if they're 0-16. I would be a Jets fan, basically, no matter what. But
backpedaling right now. You're backpedaling on me.
I am not back, Brandon. If you want to question my Jet, my Jet fandom, then I think you're smoking crack over there in North Jersey. So. But you know, I want to ask you about some other.
It's all the snow, man. I've been cooped up in the house talking to Curtis Martin all day, so I got a lot of energy.
Yeah, with this blizzard that we had that only you know resulted in 8 inches over here. It was embarrassing to call it a blizzard. I know it moved a little north, but that was embarrassing. But I want to ask you about some other free agents, Brandon. I know the bigger names. I know. You know, we both probably agree on Willie Colon, and I think if you don't agree with me on Willie Colon, then that he should be cut and that we should find a
That's
new right guard.
Player,
I think
though,
that.
Man.
Yeah, my favorite player. Okay, let's get off that. I think everybody knows he's not my favorite player. You know, Damon Harrison, I think that we both would agree that the Jets really need to re-sign him. He's one of the best run stuffing D tackles in the league, so we don't need to talk about that. But two other guys I want to talk to you about who aren't huge guys. You know, it's not like a Ndamukong Suh or a Damon Harrison or a David Harris. But I wanted to get your quick opinion about a guy like Bilal Powell and a guy like DeVon Landry and if you think that we should re-sign either one of those guys. You know, in Bilal Powell's case, you know, maybe a guy like who played under Chan Gailey, C.J. Spiller can come here. Do you think it's worth re-signing Bilal Powell maybe for, you know, a couple of years, maybe $1.5 million to $2 million a year contract you're probably looking at for Bilal Powell. And, you know, DeVon Landry would really not he's not a great player. He's not great in coverage, but, you know, he's been pretty consistent. He doesn't miss tackles, and I think he's a solid player. I'm not sure if I want him to stay or go. I'm probably leaning more towards go and go the younger route since we're rebuilding anyway. But I want to get your opinion on Bilal Powell and DeVon Landry.
I think Bilal Powell could actually be a hot commodity for other teams outside of the Jets, you know, other than the Jets offering him, you know, a short-term, you know, obviously low-end salary contract. I think Bilal Powell has shown signs that he can be a very productive running back in this league. I think that if the Jets do decide to get C.J. Spiller, I think that Bilal Powell might want to look to go elsewhere. I think that he might want to see another opportunity to, you know, branch himself out and become either backup running back and get more of a role on another team. I look at a Bilal Powell, and I even look at a team like the Giants, you know, who might go after a guy like Bilal Powell, you know, to bring him to play running back. I think that he would be a perfect fit in offense like that. I look at completely, you know, I think that the Jets, I love Bilal Powell. I think every time he touches the football, it's like he runs with a little extra burst of speed, and he gives the Jets a spark every time he touches the ball. And I think that he really is another guy who's very he's very downplayed in terms of his productivity and what he means to this offense. So I think Bilal Powell is someone who the Jets definitely should bring back, but is he going to come back here and settle for again to be the third running back behind a CJ Spiller and Chris Ivory? I don't think that he's going to want to do that. I think he's going to want to branch out, try and expand his career, and move up the depth chart somewhere else. So, I mean, in regards to Landry, I think that the GM is going to look at this entire defense, and especially the secondary, and it might be, you know, a lot of tweaking in terms of guys who were here last year who obviously didn't get the job done. I don't know if he's going to want to bring them back. I think they're going to look at this roster, see who's a free agent, see who's been productive, and see who's been helpful to this team, and see who's been a liability. So I think Powell, I would love for him to stay. I just don't think that he's going to want to take a third-string running back role again with the Jets when I think he's capable of a lot more, and I'm sure he thinks that. Landry, I think, you know, it's going to be a matter of the demand for a guy like that is not going to be very high. So it's going to be all up to the Jets GM and what direction he wants to go in.
Yeah. No, I with the one Landry thing, I definitely am leaning more towards, you know, you get younger. I think one of the biggest priorities for the Jets this offseason or in this draft is to get a true free safety and let a guy like Calvin Pryor play his true position of strong safety. So I think DeJuan Landry's gone. Yes, I would love Bilal Powell. You know, he's one of my favorite players out of Louisville, and I think he runs very hard. He actually averaged more yards per carry than a guy like Chris Johnson did. So if we went into the season with a guy like Ivory, who I think is an underrated back, and it's not just because I'm a Jets fan, he's one of the top running backs in yards after first contact. So I think he's a little bit underrated. And if Bilal Powell was a number two back, you know, I wouldn't be too upset. But, you know, if it was Bilal, if I had to choose between Bilal Powell and getting a guy like C.J. Spiller, I would probably pick C.J. Spiller because, you know, we're going to definitely have a lot of cap room this offseason. And the one thing I want to get back to you real quick, Brandon, and you know, you don't have to comment on this, but, you know, if the Jets release, we were talking about David Harris, if the Jets release Harden and Chris Johnson, they're going to have around $56 to $57 million in cap space, so we can definitely look to sign a guy, maybe like Ray Malaluga, or maybe a guy like Brandon Spikes, who was on the Bills last year, and who would definitely like it to stick it to the Patriots because he's basically expressed that he's hit the Patriots over the last couple of years. Or maybe you look at a guy who played in Arizona under Todd Bowles and Larry Foote. So there's some good names out there. You know, hopefully we re-sign guys like Harrison and Powell. I hope to see guys like Landry and Willie Colon leave, because obviously they're older guys and this team is rebuilding anyway, so why not bring in the young guys and let them, you know, work into their new position, you know, and get experience when it's time to hopefully, you know, make the wild card or be in a division or a conference championship game. So I think bringing young guys in is definitely a positive. I think it's time to, you know, move on from the old players, Brandon.
Yeah, I think so too, but I also think that the first order of business that the Jets need to take care of in free agency is I definitely think you have to bring back a guy like Antonio Cromartie, who should have never left here in the first place last year. I think that, you know, obviously he loved playing for Todd Bowles last year in Arizona. I think that the Jets have to go out and make that official as soon as free agents can be signed. I think that he's a guy that can bring a lot of good to this team, especially in depth. You know, he's not going to be a star cornerback. He's not going to be the best corner in the league. But in regards to, you know, what he can bring to this team from a leadership standpoint and from, you know, adding a ton of depth to the cornerback situation, you know, bringing in with Dee Milliner and Dexter McDougal coming back next year, you get those two guys back with an Antonio Cromartie. All of a sudden you have a cornerback tandem that is a lot. You're already leaps and bounds ahead of where you were last year. So I think the first order of business for the Jets this free agency is go get Antonio Cromartie, bring him back in here. You put him with Milliner and Dexter McDougal, and you have three cornerbacks that make you breathe a little and sleep a little bit better at night when you look at that secondary. But I know you wanted to touch on some coaching updates, Joe, so go ahead with that. And after you wrap up your coaches update, I want to dive into the Super Bowls on Sunday, man. We got to talk about the Super Bowl, and we're going to pick the game. But go ahead.
There's a Super Bowl on Sunday? I didn't even know. It's just the flake gate. You know, I haven't heard about the Super Bowl. I'm actually surprised there is one this week.
I mean, come on, right?
You play to win the game.
I want to touch on the Cromartie thing real quick before I get into, you know, the coaches and the people who've been hired in the front office, just to give our diehard Jets fans out there a little bit of an update. But, you know, the thing with Cromartie is, well, I'd definitely love to have him back. Yeah, but if there's a guy like, you know, Kareem Jackson from the Texans who was available and wanted to come here, I think I would take him just because he's obviously younger. But if we could, I wouldn't be opposed to the Jets, you know, instead of signing a guy who will probably demand more money like a Sam Shields or even like a Revis who would want, you know, probably, I don't know, $65 million a year to play because he's all about the money. But, you know, if we wanted to see a guy like, you know, sign a guy like Cromartie for, you know, $3 million and a guy like Kareem Jackson for $5 million, I would not be opposed to that. But like Kareem Jackson and Cromartie and, you know, and D. Milner fight it out for the number two or number one and two spot. And then in the slot, you have a guy like Marcus Williams. Don't forget about Marcus Williams. I know he's not a great number one. He was our number one last year. I think a guy like Marcus Williams would definitely be able to play the slot along with Dexter McDougal. So we'll definitely have more depth there. I would love to see that. So that's definitely a position we're going to need to address in the free agency. But with the coaching update and the front office update, you know, obviously we have Pepper Johnson. We have, who's obviously the defensive line coach I talked before. We have Casey Rogers, who was hired. You know, he's been the Dolphins coach for the last couple of years, and from 2008 to 2014, he had 287 sacks on that unit, which is the third most in the NFL. So I think that Bulls really want to play to the strength of the defensive line. You know, Rex Hogan was hired from, you know, we got a Rex back, Brandon, so I think you might be happy about that. But it's, you know, it's Rex Hogan who was the director of college scouting. You know, he was a Bears national scout from 2012. Okay, sorry. I hit on a bad joke there. But, you know, he was a Bears college scout since 2003. We got Brian, who probably has the best last name that I've ever heard. I think I'm pronouncing it right here, but Heimerdinger, which I definitely love that last name. It makes me laugh. He's been a scout with the Rams for since 2011. We hired him to the front office. He was an intern for the Texans with McCagnon, so. I definitely think that's a positive for the front office. I think that it's very nice that McCagnon is bringing in his staff before the draft, which you usually don't see, you know, a GM hired, and they usually stick with the old regime of front office staff and then fire them after the draft. But I think it's good that he's bringing in his draft before. But to get back to the actual coaches, you know, we hired a guy in Bobby April, who I think is one of the best, you know, hirings the Jets have had so far this year. Obviously, I like Todd Bowles more, but this guy has been a special teams coach since 91. He's won, and two times he's won special team coach of the year in 2004 and 2008 with the Bills. So I think that's definitely a step up with us since we've seen, you know, Thomas McGahee completely botched the special teams job last year. Just a couple more, Brandon. We have an O-line coach who's been an O-line coach for 35 years, and Steve Marshall, who was a Packers assistant line coach who is now on the Jets, and he's the offensive line coach for them. He was with McCagnon on the Texans from 2002 to 2005. He coached up guys like Joe Thomas, and he had Jamal Lewis running, old Jamal Lewis running behind a pretty bad Browns line that he coached up pretty well. So, and then we have a guy in Marcel Shipp, who was a running back coach. He's relatively young, but I think that's another good guy to have in here, because he was a player for, I believe it was 8 years. So he can relate to the players as well. He's a coach in the UFL since 2012. He's another New Jersey guy from Patterson. So, you know, I definitely like the signings that the Jets have had. You know, it seems like a lot of player coaches and a lot of guys who've had a lot of experience in this you know, in the NFL. So I'm definitely excited about our coaching staff. But, you know, let's do the picks here, Brandon. I think I was, you know, boring some people out there, but I just wanted to get Jets fans.
Let's get to the fact that there's a Super Bowl on Sunday, my friend. So let's dive right into it. I thought the media day today. Oh yeah, that's great, fantastic, that's awesome. Every coach that you just named, you can walk up to 500 people in New York City and ask them if they know any of them. They'll say no. So let's go to Super Bowl. So this Sunday, the Patriots play the Seattle Seahawks. I thought the media day was fantastic, by the way, and listening to Marshawn Lynch go up there and answer every question with,
I'm here because I don't want to get fined. I thought that was the highlight of the day today. But I'm going to let you pick first here. Patriots, Seahawks, who do you like and why?
Hold on, Brandon. I believe right now that you're up one game on me, so I think you have to go first because no matter what, I have to pick the opposite team to you so that I can tie you. So I think that you are going to have to go first, and I'm going to have to flip the pages to you because I need to try to catch up here, and I need to pick whatever team you do not. So go ahead and make your pick and my pick, but then whatever pick you make for me, I will tell you why they will win.
Oh, so you're just going to go the opposite of me just so you can try and catch me in the standings. Is that right?
No doubt about it. I'm probably one of the most competitive people you'll ever meet. But go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to make you sick to your stomach then because you're going to take the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl because I'm clearly going to go with the Seattle Seahawks in this situation.
Okay.
I think Seattle right now is, you know, they played their worst game that they could possibly play, and I think we've seen out of them in the past 2 years against the Packers. They shouldn't even be playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, the luck was definitely on their side in the NFC Championship game, but they are in the Super Bowl, and I see a very physical football team that's going to match up very well against the Patriots, especially when you look at their secondary with Chancellor and Sherman. I mean, guys, they're going to take away that type of game that the Patriots like to play, especially with Rob Gronkowski over the middle and Julian Edelman. I think their secondary is up to the task. I think that their running game in terms of Marshawn Lynch and the speed game of Russell Wilson, I just think the Seattle Seahawks are way too much to handle for the Patriots. I look at a team like New England matching up against a physical team like Seattle. I don't think that they're going to match up well. I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks in this football game 31-17. Go for it, Joe.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be sick. I'm going to be sick to my stomach. You know, I honestly, I'm probably still going to root for the Seahawks here. I don't care if I'm going to lose this. I'm probably still going to root for the Seahawks, but I'm going to pick the Patriots. I think it's going to be a really close game. I don't think the Seahawks can do what they did to Peyton Manning and you know, take away the short intermediate routes and dare him to throw deep. I think if you dare Tom Brady to throw deep, he will burn you. He's still a very good quarterback. It hurts to say it, but he's obviously one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played the game. You know, the Patriots are similar ways to the Packers, and I think that the Packers really gave the Seahawks a tough time. You know, as long as the Patriots can run the ball, which they have a better offensive line than the Packers, obviously LeGarrette Blount is not as good as Eddie Lacy, but I think they can both run the Seahawks. The Patriots have very good corners, so I think they'll be able to shut down Doug Baldwin and Curse. You know, obviously he doesn't have great receiving weapons over there. So I think it's going to be a very close game. And I think if you let Tom Brady get into the red zone multiple times, they're not going to be kicking field goals. They'll be scoring
I don't think you honestly believe anything that's coming out of your mouth right now. I think you're just I think that you're just sitting there like, you know what, I'm a game behind. Let me come up with nonsense that I think is going to happen. I mean, you really don't believe that the Patriots are going to run the ball well against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, do you? Honestly.
Oh, well, no, I think if the Packers can do it, I think the Patriots can. They have a better offensive line.
You know, they might just go out there and give it the old college try and see what happens on Super Bowl Sunday. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think the Seahawks will win, but I'm going to pick the Patriots. I think it's going to be a very close game. You know, obviously Jeremy Lane came out.
You can't see the Seahawks. So you think the Seahawks will win, but because you're so competitive and you know that I'm going to come on here next week and I'm going to throw a parade down north, wherever, all throughout Hackensack, we're going to throw a parade in the fact that I won when it matters in the playoff standings, and you are going to sit there in second place. So you think the Seahawks are going to win, but you're picking the Patriots. I mean, that is such a cop-out.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to win, Brandon. I honestly, if me and you were sitting together and we both made a bowl of hot soup and you know, in the microwave, I would be competitive to see who could eat it fastest and who would take the first bite of hot soup. I'm ridiculously competitive. I'm going to pick the Patriots. I think it'll be a very close game. So you know, I'm going to take them, and I'll be celebrating when I win. And obviously, I have a better record than you do overall. So you know, that still counts for something.
Well, Joe, we are going to find out on Super Bowl Sunday. And remember, don't forget, #who's going to win the conversations on Twitter. whoever the fans pick for the Who's Going to Win campaign, they will light up the Super Bowl Central in Phoenix, Arizona. Remember to check out Who's Going to Win. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show tonight. I want to thank Curtis Martin for joining us on Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank Jerry for running Twitter and the call lines behind the scenes. And we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.